to continue the message that we started a couple of weeks ago on the new birth in the Gospel of John in the 3rd chapter and verse 3, verse 5, and verse 7. We want to read for your hearing this morning. John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in the 5th verse, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. We want to continue the message on the new birth that we started 2 weeks ago. We showed you several things about the new birth. We used the negative approach in the dealing with it the last time. We pointed out the necessity of the new birth, that it is necessary that a person be a child of God, to be born again. The reason for the necessity, and then also in the reasons for this, the spiritual blessings are for those who are spiritual beings. In other words, those who are dead spiritually cannot enjoy the blessings of God because of God's blessings are to the spirit. Then also being in God's kingdom implies that we are in submission unto God's rule. Many people today have not experienced the new birth. Their life does not indicate that they have because that they are not in submission to the Word of God. They're not taking God's Word. They're not practicing. They're not living. They have no desire to be like the Lord. And therefore we know by the authority of God's Word that he is not submitted unto God's will. Now, I'm not one who is to point this out. God knows, and you know, whether you're a child of God or whether you're still a child of the devil. Now, by nature, you are at enmity with God. You're on the opposing side. This is what the Lord spoke about in the devil there in the book of Genesis. Then also, we looked at the nature of the new birth. As we looked at it in the negative sense, that it was not doing away with the old nature, the old man that is within us. It was not a living of a perfect life either. Many people have the idea because that they can quit so many things that they're living perfectly. This is not so. This is not getting religion. Religion does not mean that you have the new birth. Then it's not human reformation. We pointed out, we dealt with all of these things. It's not the adoption, even though that as the children of God, that we are adopted into His family. But this is not the new birth. Then it's not the alteration of the soul, bringing it back from the condition that it was in when it fell. It's not altering it or infusing into it the gospel or the Word of God. Not putting something, adding to that which we already have. But this morning we want to look at it on the positive side now. Look at the thing that is the new birth. Regeneration is another term that we use for the new birth. We find the new birth is a supernatural thing. By this we mean that it's not something that happens in the normal realm or the normal sense. It's something that does happen instantaneously. It happens all at once. Not something over a period of time or a process, but it is an experience that we have once and only once. We do not come to the place that we're almost saved and we grow into a certain condition and that makes us to be saved, but this is an experience of salvation. It's an instant work of God in the soul of man. I believe that we can also say that the new birth or regeneration is something that goes deeper than the conscience of man. It's something that is within us that we cannot explain. It's God working in our heart. We know that it happens. It makes us to rejoice. We know when it does happen. It's like that He spoke of in the book of John here, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse. He says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Now when we realize what the new birth is, what regeneration is, this will do away with many of the ideas that people have, that they had a part in salvation. When it happens, we can exercise this holy disposition that God has given unto us. It is a work of God. It's something that God Himself has to do. Man cannot do it. Man cannot give birth unto himself physically, nor can he give birth unto himself spiritually. And because of this, because that salvation is of the Lord, many people today do not believe it. They do not accept it. They do not receive it because they want to have a part in it. And as a result of it, because they cannot have a part in it in the sense that they have to do something, then also because they cannot explain how that it happened, therefore they say, "We do not receive it. We do not believe it." But this no less makes it any more through the Word of God. In the book of John again, in the 1st chapter and verse 13, he says, "Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." People today have a misconception of the Word of God. They have a misconception of the new birth. They feel like it's something that I have done, when actually it's something that God has done within us. God has wrought a work in our lives, in our heart, and made us to become new creatures, new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not something that can be passed down by heredity. It's not something that you inherit from your fathers or your mothers. It doesn't work this way. It's not passed from one generation to the other, because one father may live for the devil. He may live doing everything wicked, and his son or his daughter may come along and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior and live for Him, and live a life that would be most dedicated and separated from the things of the world. And then it may, in the reverse, you may have a godly mother, a godly father, and then you be lost and live like the devil. And so this is not something that is passed on from one generation to another. And then another thing, that it is not a joint work of man and God. Now this is what most of our religion in the world today is concerned about. This is what why that much of the religion in the world today is pagan, it's heathenistic, because that man is trying to work along with God and calling it salvation. Jonah came to the realization when he said, "Salvation is of the Lord." Many people read this and they don't realize what he's talking about. He's not talking about his being saved and becoming a child of God. But he was saying his deliverance is in the hand of God. Salvation is of the Lord. His being set free is from the Lord. And we today can come to the same conclusion, that our salvation is of the Lord. Unless that God saves us, there will be no salvation. We can't do anything within ourselves. But a lot of people like to put their works with the grace of God. When you add works to the grace of God, it no longer is grace. It becomes works. Because grace is that which God does for us that we could not do ourselves, and we did not deserve it. We could not work for it. We could not attain it in any way. Salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In regeneration is not a man acting upon what man has acted upon by himself. So something that he has seen and something that he says, well, now I know this is good. And when I get ready, I will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. This is not so. This is not regeneration. This is not salvation. And I want us to realize that it is something. It's a work that God has done upon us that we could not do regardless of who we are, what we might do. We could not bring salvation. It's God working upon man, putting within us the ability to repent, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. And unless God does this, unless He works in our heart, no man will come unto Him. Repentance and faith never are made conditions of regeneration. Now, if you repent, then I'll save you. No, God enables us to repent. If you believe, then I'll save you. God enables us to believe because within us there is no good thing. Scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. There's no one that within themselves can say, I found the Lord. The Lord had to first work in us and enabled us to repent of those sins and trust Him as our Lord and as our Savior. It's a gift that God has given to us. Read Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. God granted to us and made us so that we would by faith trust Him. Accept what He did on the cross of Calvary. Regeneration is a sovereign act of God. Listen as I read again John 3 and verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. How many of you make the wind to blow? Or you say, I get an electric fan and I make it blow this way. That's not wind. That's the result of a cause. You can't do it. You can't cause this world or the wind to blow. And the wind blows wherever it wants to, wherever it desires. And he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God works upon a man as he sees fit, grants unto him repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can't make God save you. You can't force God to regenerate you. This is in God's own sovereign will, in God's own sovereign way that He sees fit. The Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit, is the agent through which He works. God works through His Holy Spirit. In John 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is something that the flesh doesn't like. This is something that Satan doesn't want you to hear. But nevertheless, unless God's Holy Spirit does His work in your heart, you'll die and go to hell. It's not a matter of when I get ready, when I feel like it, I'll trust the Lord as my Savior, because you never will on your own. Unless God works in your heart, you never will feel like you want to be saved. You'll just keep putting it off and putting it off, putting it off until that you die and go into hell. But I hear it all the time. People say, well, I'll be saved one of these days. I intend to. Brother, this does not work. As God's Holy Spirit moves you, then you're able to repent of your sins and trust Him as your Savior. The next thing that we call your attention to, and that is the supernatural work. The supernatural thing. We look out here, and there's none of us that can cause it to rain. There's none of us that can cause the wind to blow. There's none of us that can cause lightning to pass from one sky or one cloud to the other. We just can't do that. I'm not able to do this. You can't either. But they're the works of God. They're the works of God. And they are acting according to the laws of God's nature. They're working according to God's nature. Now, the natural thing for man, the sinner, is to turn away. The natural man is to go away from God. That's the natural thing. Just like it's the natural thing for rain when there's a certain temperature where that hydrogen and oxygen and they join together. As they're combined together, they drop in the form of rain. This is the natural thing. This is according to God's law. But the natural thing with man is to continue to go away farther and farther and farther away from God. But God intervenes, and He brings about the new birth, regeneration. This is a supernatural thing. It's not the thing that normally happens. It's the thing that is very unnormal. We might use that term. It's God describes it this way. In the book of Jeremiah, the 13th chapter and verse 23, He says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? If he can do this, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." Brother, it just doesn't work that way. You can take a black man, and he can put all the bleach, all the fuller he wants on his body. But he can't change it. It's black and it'll remain black. He can't do it. And you can take a leopard and you can maybe shave off the hair that's on his body. But when it comes back, it'll still have its spots. He may be able to get some dye. Just like some of the ladies that they put on their hair. You may dye it. You may make him to be all one color. You may make it to be black, or you may make him blue or green. But when that hair grows out, it's still going to be the spots. Man can't do it. And the natural thing for a man that's a sinner is to continue to be a sinner. And so it takes the work of God in a man's heart. And God is able. God can change a man. God can make him that did sin and found joy in it. He can make us to find joy in serving the Lord. God is able. There are a lot of people today who profess to be the children of God. Many people, they say, because we've learned, because we've studied, because that we've come forward and we have confessed with our lips, because we've gone out to the baptismal waters, and we've been put under the water. Therefore, we're a child of God. That's not so. Unless God gave them a new heart, unless the working of God's Holy Spirit took place in their heart, they're still lost. And then there's another thing in connection with this, and that is that many people who profess that they're the children of God, they are not. Because the Scripture teaches us in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd, or 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and in the 14th or 17th verse. He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," or a new creation. It's not the old. The old's already there. It's still there. He says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." As I see here in this passage of Scripture, it's not setting aside the old things for a while, putting them aside and saying, "Now I'm going to quit them until I get things going the way that I want to." If he is not saved, the same old things will continue in his life. And that's why that we can know, we can look at individuals, and unless there is a change in their lives, we can know that they're still the children of the devil. That's why there's so much confusion many times in our Baptist churches. Because people who profess to be Christians, who are learned in the Word of God, who can take a passage of Scripture and read it and tell you there's another passage over here just like it, and they can maybe explain it to a certain degree, that does not mean that they're saved. And I'm afraid that we have many in our church, as well as other churches, that the people have not experienced the new birth. Their lives make it known that they're still lost. There's not been that new life. There's not been that change that has taken place in their life. said another thing about this new birth. It is an instantaneous work. It's making alive, becoming new creatures or a new creation in God. Now, a person is either alive or they're dead. It's not something that is halfway. In the Sunday school lesson, Bobby Wayne read this morning, being half, leaving the man half dead. He was beaten, but he was still alive. And you today are here, and you're alive, every one of us in this building. When that life departs, you'll be dead, and there won't be a halfway or in between. You may be in a coma, but there's still life. If this were not so, when a person goes into a coma, we'd call the funeral director and say, this person is dead. Take them out and bury them. You say, no, don't do that. They're still alive. A lot of times we hear reports from people in the hospital, some of you. They'll say, well, how are they? They're just alive. They're still breathing. They're not dead. And so when a person becomes, the Scripture teaches, they're dead spiritually. They're dead to spiritual things. That's the way with every man who has not been born again. They're dead in a spiritual sense, and then when they are born again, then's when they're alive. And Paul talks about this in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. He says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. This word quickened means to be made alive. He says, you were dead, but now you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the new birth. This is regeneration, and it happened just like that. It's not over a period of time. It's not because somebody is praying for you, not praying through or not getting you to accomplish a certain thing, but it's the fact that you have been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is regeneration. It's passing from death unto life. Regeneration takes place. I don't know how. I can't explain it. I know that it does happen, as we read to you in the 8th chapter or the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter of the book of John, seemingly below a place beyond or deeper than our conviction. Now we talk about the heart. Many of you understand what I'm talking about. By this, you say it cut to the heart. It pierced into the heart. Well, where is the heart? It's something deeper than what I can touch with my physical hand. You say, is it that little pear-shaped or heart-shaped thing that's inside of our body that pumps the blood? No, it's something deeper than that. This here we become, I think we might explain it like this. When one of our loved ones have died and we go there and we mourn over their death, there's a feeling inside that we can't touch, but we know that it's there. There is sorrow in our heart, not necessarily for them, but for us. There's a pain that we can feel. And yet it's not in the heart that beats the blood or pushes the blood through the body, but there's something deeper than this. And so this is where that the new birth, that it works, and it is manifest. It's made known, it's shown by the physical life. It's God working in us. Therefore, as we see it in this respect, it's deeper than the flesh can touch. John described it here. Like the wind, it blows. We know that it does, and we see the results of it. But we can't tell where it comes from and where it's going. But we do know that it does happen within us. We can't explain it. Can't put our finger on it. But we know that it has been accomplished. Now, it puts man in a state of agreement with God. When that happens in our hearts, it puts us that we take sides with God. And I know that a lot of people have not experienced the new birth because they're still fighting God. They're still on the opposite side. When a person is born again, we take sides with God. This is what causes us to be like the Lord Jesus when they came to Him. He said, behold your mother and your brothers and your sister. Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who is my sister? But he that doeth the will of the Father, see, causes us, as the Scripture says, that Jesus came not to draw together and to bring peace at the time that he was here on the earth. And he says, I came to bring division, to separate a husband and wife, mother and father, separate children, because they become new creatures in Christ. See, there's a change. We become like God. We become like Him in that we want to submit ourselves unto Him. And so this is the internal yielding of ourselves unto God. This is what happens when we experience the new birth. So you look at your life today. Ask yourself, has the work of God taken place in my heart, which enabled me to say, not my will, but thine be done, which enabled me to repent of my sins, seeing what they have done, seeing that it caused Jesus Christ to go to the cross of Calvary, and He paid the sin debt. And I recognize this, and I'm sorry. I have a change of mind. I looked at them at one time, and I said, well, there's nothing wrong with my sin. But now I look at them, and they're a loathsome thing to me. I hate them. I realize what they did to my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I look to Him, and I say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because God has worked in my heart and enabled me to believe that Jesus did die and that He paid my sin debt. And I've trusted Him as my personal Savior because He has worked this in my heart. This new birth is complete. This new birth is, there's nothing more that has to be added to it. God has worked in our heart, and we show it in the outward way in that we repent of our sins and we show faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This new birth was accomplished not by education, not by culture, because Peter tells us that a man that is not a child of God, he's like a dog, that unless his nature is changed, you can take a dog out here somewhere and you can clean him up, and he'll still go back to the vomit. He'll go back to where that he has thrown up his food and eat it again. Unless you change his nature, he'll continue to do that. You can bring a hog in, and you can wash it, you can clean it up, you can put perfume and powder on it, you can paint its toenails and put it in the finest of house that you might be able to build. You turn it loose and it goes out here and it wallows in the mud again. He has to have his nature to be changed, or else he'll go back to the same thing. And I find that individuals that have not been changed, they go back to the same wallow, they go back to the same vomit, they go back to the old way. The evidences of a person being born again is that the old things have passed away. They have to have a new nature. Education does not bring this. Culture does not bring this. Nor does baptism. We'll not take time to go into this, but we'll point out in 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, in the 21st verse, that in the speaking about Noah, those that were in the ark, the water lifted them up. He says, this is a like picture. Baptism does not save anyone. Then in the book of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in the 15th verse, where Jesus says that we must fulfill all righteousness. And then in the book of Titus, the 3rd chapter, in the 5th verse, Paul says, it's not by works of righteousness that we're saved. Not by what we can do, but it's what God has done for us. And so we come to the place that we can believe, that we can exercise this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And also want you to realize that nobody is going to be saved without the hearing of the Word of God. That's why that we have missionaries. That's why we encourage people to come to the house of God, that they might hear the Word of God. Now, hard-shell Baptists today say that you don't have to hear the Word of God. God will work it out and He'll save you, whether you ever hear the Word or not. And we're not hard-shell. We believe that the Word has to go out. People have to hear the plan of salvation before God will work salvation in their hearts. And then also that He has to have the working of God's Holy Spirit. A man can hear the Word and read it and memorize it, know it forward and backward and still be lost and go into hell unless that the Holy Spirit makes this to be effectual and gives them power to do this. And so nobody's going to be saved until they hear the Word And then God's Holy Spirit works in them. And then also, in closing, we call your attention to just a few things that are evidences of the new birth. First of all, there is that genuine trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. When a man tells me that I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, but I've got to be baptized, cross that off your list. That man's not saved. Jesus paid it all. His death was all that we needed. He paid every sin, for every sin that we've ever committed. Jesus did pay it all. We trust in Him and Him alone. Not in the preacher, not in the church, not in the works, not in the water, not in the Lord's Supper, in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an evidence that a person has been born again. He's trusting fully, completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the next thing that we call your attention to, and that is that the Holy Spirit of God witnesses of His indwelling. God's Holy Spirit is in our hearts, and we know that we're the children of God. In the 24th verse, He says this of the book of 1 John. He says in the 3rd chapter, 24, "And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, whereby we know that He abideth in us, by the Spirit which He hath given us." So, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. God's Holy Spirit is within every believer. He's in you. And we know this. He knows us and we know Him. And then also, we're ready to accept the Word of God. I find a lot of people today who say, "Well, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. But I don't believe what when God said this, I don't believe this." There are people today who are denying the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis. There are people today who would make you to believe that man came from monkeys. There are people today who would try to make you believe that we came from sea life. They're not saved. They're not the children of God. Because they deny the things that are written in the Word of God. In the beginning, God created man. God made him out of nothing. Brought him into existence. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. I don't care how much science tells you. I don't care who tells you. But God's Word teaches us that God created. God made man. And then He also made woman. He took the rib out of Adam and made woman. He breathed in her nostrils. She became a living soul. This is how we came here on the face of the earth. Then also we accept the Word of God. We want His Word, His will to be done in our lives. And then also we're conscious of the fact that we do sin. When I find somebody who says, "Well, I'm living a perfect life. I just, as far as I'm concerned, I cross them off of the list as being saved. Because the Scripture teaches me that there's nobody that is alive today or has ever lived who were born of man but what sins." We're all sinners. Every one of us. We look at it, it's not because that we like it, but we recognize that it's our nature. We have a consciousness of the presence of sin. And a person that says, "Well, I don't sin," they don't know the Lord. They don't know God's Word. If they did, read Romans, the 7th chapter, 14 through 25, and you'll find that there's a battle going on in the lives of a Christian because the devil's there and there's sin there. And then also, we love God and righteousness. We have a desire to do God's will. We say, "Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, we want your will to be done." This is the thing that Habakkuk did. He went before the Lord and he said, "Lord, how can these things be? How are you going to let these people go on in their wickedness and in their sin?" God says, "I'm not going to let them go on forever. I'm going to put a stop to it." He said, "You know this heathen nation over here, the Chaldeans?" He said, "I'm going to bring them over and I'm going to let them carry them away into captivity. I'm going to work this thing out." God did work it out. Habakkuk said, "Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you. I'll wait and see. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be surrendered to God's will. Oh, so many times, there's things that come up in our lives that we don't understand. But all the joy comes in knowing that the Lord has control of everything. And He's working it out. And when the time comes, we'll understand it. We'll be able to see it. Then also there's that personal, progressive purification called sanctification by the Word of God. And being set apart, learning a little, practicing a little. Learning a little more, living a little more. Closer, closer, closer unto God as we go day by day. Set those things out of our life. Then another thing, that we love the brethren. Oh, we love those who are the children of God. This is what God tells us in John, 1 John 4, verse 14, or 3rd chapter in the 14th verse. We're going to love those that are the children of God. And I don't know how anybody that's a professed Christian says, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, how they can stay away from the house of God. This is one of the things that makes me to know that we've got a lot of people that don't love the Lord, that aren't saved, because they don't love the brethren. If you told your wife, I love you, and I'll see you next year, and may come in and visit you, she may be there and she may not be. You say, well, do you really love me if you're going away and stay away for a year? No reason at all. I love you and I'm going to stay away from you a year, 2 years, 5 years, 20 years. Oh, I have people used to say, well, I love Big Bone Baptist Church. How long have you been since you've been there? I've been pastor there 8 years now, will be. Well, let's see. It was back when Brother Johnson was there. I used to go all the time. And you figure that up. He came here in 27 or 28 or maybe left then. Oh, I love the Lord and I love God's people. Don't give much evidence of it. Family life won't go along very well if you don't have any more love than that. God says we love the brethren. And when we love them, we want to be with them. And then another thing, that we'll grow in patience. We'll become more like the Lord. Sometimes I wonder if my patience got it in reverse, but we're going to grow patience as a child of God. Take inventory of your life today. Has God worked that miracle of the new birth in your heart? Given you a new life? Given you a new heart? If not, in your present condition, you're on your road to hell. As God works in your heart, you can trust Him. You can repent of your sins and exercise that faith in Jesus Christ. But if not, then you go on your way. You won't come. Those that are the children of God, they'll not be ashamed to confess Him here. And when we get to heaven, stand in His presence, He'll not be ashamed to confess us there. Let us stand together. As we stand, may we bow our heads in a word of prayer. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that Jesus does save. Lord, I'm thankful that He saved my soul. Even while I was sinful and wretched, while I was an enemy, He went to the cross of Calvary and He suffered in my stead. Father, there are those here in our midst today that have never been able to believe on You. Lord, I hear people many times say, I'm afraid. I'd like to, but not today. They don't understand it. Lord, I know what they're talking about. God, as You see fit, we pray this morning that You would work in their hearts as they've heard the Word. Lord, give them understanding. Lord, work in their heart and cause them to repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, we could go back and we could take them by the hand, lead them down the aisle and get some kind of a decision out of them. But Lord, unless You work in their heart, they'll be lost. And so we pray, dear Father, that You'd take charge here today. Do Thy work. Let Thy Holy Spirit have His way. Lord, we pray that You'd drive the devil out. Drive Satan out, the one that holds them in their hand now.
that the Holy Spirit, He might have His way. As we sing the hymn of invitation, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the number, Brother Beal?
190. 190. God speaks to your heart today. Trust Him as your personal Savior. And invite me to come as we sing. going to be what has been done with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been able to accept Him as your Savior, you're going to be in heaven. If you've not, you've rejected Him, you've turned your back upon what He has done, you'll be in the torments of an eternal hell.